Morning, everyone. I have a thought on my mind today in a little bit of what, continue what Brother Marty said last week about being godly kings and priests. And so I will read from Revelations 1, 5 through 6, which is where we read last week, and pick up a little different note as to where I go than where Brother Marty went last week, and I really enjoyed that as well. In Revelation 1, 5 through 6, "And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." It is such a blessing, I believe, to understand our position in Christ being kings and priests. We talked a little bit about that last week. And since the Lord is the King of Kings, we have to have a kingdom right now. There has to be a kingdom now. It's not out there in the future. It's right now. And I love the fact that the many examples in the Bible talks about that the Old Testament was a shadow and type of what we have today. And now the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost within us. So it's should be encouraging to us to see that we have a king that's over us little kings, and that his name is Jesus Christ, and he is the Son of Man, the perfect human being who came and was the fulfillment of the Old Testament being from the throne of David. He was the ultimate king that came. And while many people, and if you look throughout history, our whole tendency is to try to make things physical and try to make Jesus a physical king. Even his disciples were thinking that, which I've been watching The Chosen, which is a series, and it's amazing how everybody's flesh wants to put Jesus up as a physical king when he didn't come to do that. And so they finally, I think, got it toward the end. And when they were converted and all, they saw what the Lord came to do, and he came to die. He came to die that 3 hours of being made to be sin who knew no sin, and so that we could be made kings and priests. He had to purchase us, and then we are, in effect, the offspring, if you will, of the Lord. He's the first begotten from the dead, and one day we will be resurrected from the dead when he comes again. But I love the example that he came and lived and died for. In Revelation 19, it says that he's faithful and true. And it also in 16 verse, it says he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In 1 Timothy 6:15-16, it says he's the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So all of us need to see, it doesn't matter if we're male or female, doesn't matter if we're man, woman, child, we're all kings. In essence, I believe that those that die in the womb are kings as well, because since they die in the womb, they're going to heaven. I believe that. They have no works, therefore they will be in heaven, and they are kings in the womb before they die. So we have a lot of little kings around, and we need to live like it, like we are, and be over our old nature. Because if you look at the examples in the Bible, the flesh always comes first. You look at King Saul, he followed his flesh and jealousy, and he fell on his sword at the end of his life, and then David came. So here it is. We, in essence, I think, have a King Saul and a King David inside of us. And we know that King David had a King Saul in him. He had an old nature, too. So we all have this struggle to rely on the King of Kings to help us in our walk in life to be over our old nature and the king that's inside of us that's not so good. So, and he's older. The old nature is older than our new king. And so he likes to beat up on the little king that's really the righteous, the right owner of the body. And at death, I love the fact that the old nature is going to just disappear. And we have something that's already eternal inside of us. We're already living forever. So we need to know who we really are. Jesus was raised to sit on his throne. So after the resurrection, he has been ruling and reigning from on high. And we have that kingdom now that has gone from Old Testament to New Testament and has become internal to us. And that spiritual kingdom is in our body, and that in many verses talk about that. But right now he's in heaven helping our young little king of the new nature to get stronger. And we do that by reading his word. We do that by following him. One of the things that amazes me in 2 Chronicles, a lot of people quote this verse, and I remember when I was young, I remember this being preached in a Southern Baptist church, and it's always stuck with me. In 14, it says, if my people, well, who's his people? Those called after his name, we are his people. God's elect, those chosen before the foundation of the world, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So if you're looking for a formula, there is a formula, but we're not supposed to be looking for formulas. But it is peculiar that order of events, humble, prayer, seek God's face, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. We can't turn from our wicked ways unless we're first humble. We can't turn from our wicked ways unless we pray. We can't turn from our wicked ways unless we see the perfect one, Jesus Christ. So we have that. But then it continues. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. These passages of scriptures came after Solomon built the temple. And I wanted to try to draw a little bit of example between what King Solomon did, that really he didn't do a good job in the spiritual realm. And he is an example that we're not to follow. Okay, whereas his father, who had his mistakes, but he was still, I believe, a man after God's own heart. But anyway, it says, for now I've chosen and sanctified this house, the one that Solomon had built, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as it as I have coveted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck them out up by the roots out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and I will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done such unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. I really believe that these verses speak to us too, because we have been delivered out of Egypt. We have been born again, and we are to use this body for God's glory and for his purpose. But if we don't, we will be punished in time, not eternally. And I believe if we look at Revelation, there's a lot of judgment in Revelation toward the non-elect, but there's a lot of judgment toward the elect. And we need to watch what we do with our lives and our body as kings and priests to God. And like Brother Marty said last week, we offer up praise, we offer up prayer, we offer up many things of praise to God. Now, Solomon, he went on, and I wanted to read in 1 Kings 11, 1 through 13, how he deviated and he forsook the Lord, and it didn't, I believe, end well. And it says, but King Solomon loved many strange women. If you look in Deuteronomy, there's a direction that God gives Moses to write down. When you come into your land and when you want a king, make sure that this king is among your people, and make sure that he doesn't multiply wives, multiply gold and silver, and multiply horses. And Solomon violated all of them. David, to a lesser extent, violated that. So they had the direction from God where not to go, but I wanted to read on what happened with Solomon. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. I think that's multiplying wives, don't you think? For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemos, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. Molech, there was a big altar, and they sacrificed babies on that altar and put them in a frying pan. And horrendous evil. And look at the evil we have today with abortion. We're killing babies in the womb. And I think this is a sign of a degraded country that we're in right now. And likewise did he for all his strange wives which burn incense and sacrifice unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in the days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hands of thy sons. Howbeit, I will not rend away all thy kingdom, for I will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. So, brothers and sisters, in 1 Corinthians 6:19, we just had an example of a king that went astray, and we're not to go that way. Many of us not going to have 1,000 wives and all, but that Solomon, to me, is a clear example of a warning that we're not to use this body for our own selfish desires and to do things that are abominable. And now that we have that temple inside, we have to worship God in spirit and truth. And we have that opportunity, I believe, based on the doctrine that we understand of the finished work of Christ, that we do worship a God who has chosen us We didn't choose him. He chose us. And we, out of thanksgiving, should do what it says in 1 Corinthians. It says, "What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you, Father, for what you have done, all the many blessings that we don't deserve, and we thank you that you came and lived a perfect life as a human being with a full measure of the Spirit of God in you, and that your miracles were performed through that, to the Spirit of God, and that you lived among us and showed us an example of how to be a good king. And we ask that you help us to do that in this body. And we ask that you would help us do it in this church body as well, since we are all made up of individual living stones in this body. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your blessings. Please bless the rest of the service and those mentioned that need a measure of grace and healing. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.